Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, the Bennett Automotive Group, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now, here's your host, Jason Bishop.
Welcome to the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment of the Wildcats Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine, Orthopedic Surgery, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Jeff Herron. Coach, thanks for taking the time.
No problem, Jason. Glad to do it.
Coach, first off, a big congratulations is in order for you. Another big win over the Lowndes County Vikings. First time we've beaten those guys since 2015. So, Coach, congratulations.
Well, appreciate it. You know, it's always good to win a region game. It's always good to win a Region 1 game. And certainly after the way we lost to Lowndes last year, I think that was important to all of us that we play well and get a victory there. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe you might have predicted all this back about 8-9 weeks ago or something. But I remember thinking at the time you was crazy. But I think you called this that we might be playing for second at some point. But it turned out to be a good night to be a Wildcat.
Sure. And for those folks that know me, they know that I will never say I told you so.
It's okay. It's okay.
Coach, also a big congratulations because, look, call a duck a duck. If I'm not mistaken, last year we endured a 4-7 season. Might have been the only season of your illustrious coaching tenure where you've had a losing record, and then the very next year you turn things around. You get a home playoff game, which when you took the helm here, that was one of your big goals. Was other than winning the region, we also got to get home playoff games here. So good job, congratulations, Coach.
I appreciate it. Don't appreciate you bringing up last year, though. I told another guy this morning, I said, I wish you guys would quit talking about that. I've tried to block that out of my memory, but yes, was the first losing season I've ever had, and I had to endure that and be humbled by that. And, so yes, it feels better to win. I'm not going to lie. But, last year there were a lot of positives, and, it certainly has helped us, I think, this year. And the way we started this year has helped us. You hate to endure stuff like that, but, the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I think might apply with this year's team. So, it's good to see them gain confidence and get into the position that we are right now.
Biggest difference I've seen is the ability to close games, finish.
Well, we had to learn. We learned the hard way. We could not figure that out last year. I was just telling somebody earlier today that, we've got a lot of kids off of last year's team that are contributing in college this year. I mean, we had some talented players. We had a really good team. We just couldn't get over that hump. It's almost like we were every game we'd wait on something bad to happen instead of making something good happen. And I think you're right that this year, to quote one of our kids, we doing different this year, Coach. And, I told him he's a great kid. He might not make an A in English, but, we're taking that slogan and running with it because the kids have done differently this year.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Well, Coach, let's jump into the Lowndes game a little bit. So, about 2 minutes and 50 seconds left in the first quarter. We're down 7-0. We punted to each other, and then Lowndes scores a touchdown to get up. And then Jaden Daly, and I said it to Lawton, we're so used to Jaden Daly running hard between the tackles, and we don't get an opportunity to see him get in space a lot. And then we saw him get in space, and he's got some burners on him.
Yes, he does. And, Jaden's one of those rare kids that, he can play inside for us or he can play outside for us. And, we've experimented with that all year long. He's, when we lost both of our halfbacks, he was a kid that got some practice time anyway playing halfback. And, he's our running back when we're in our gun stuff. And, very versatile player and, could start on defense for us tomorrow, I'm sure. So, it was good to see. And, you mentioned that, we had a good first drive. Mm-hmm. And we were first in goal on the four until we looked out there and saw the first of 7 million yellow flags laying there. And, you know, it was such a bad penalty because it was called in the back of a pass play and it was 10 yards from the spot. So we went from first in goal on the 4 yard line to first in a million, you know, and from about the 40 yard line. And we wound up punting after that. But, you know, Lowndes went and scored. And, you know, I put in my notes, you know, right after all that, saying, you know, our guys did not flinch. You know, last year they might have got a different look in their eye, but this year's group didn't seem to be fazed by it at all. And, you know, certainly Jaden's run helped. You know, we weren't behind for long, for sure.
Yeah. We get in the second quarter, and, you know, I'll contend one of the prettiest things that somebody can watch is Deontay Cole get in the open field and turn it on. And he busts a big one. Actually busted a couple of big ones, but there in the second quarter, a big one to put us up 14-7.
It did. Well, we had held them, and they had missed a field goal. And the very next play, he goes 80 yards with a misdirection play. And, you know, Deontay's been hurt all year long. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about that numerous times. And, you know, even he's been back practicing now for about 3 or 4 weeks, but he just wasn't himself. And, Friday night was the first time that I saw the Deontay Cole from last year, and our fans and everybody got to see that. And, you know, he's got the ability now. You know, he's not going to run over a lot of people, but if he gets in the open now, he's not going to get caught either.
Shamarion Gibbs contributes with an interception, and then a 27-yard touchdown pass from Mason to Quan Floyd, and Quan was all alone in his own zip code.
Yeah, Mason did a good job on it. Quan ran a good route. Lyon did a good job protecting. And actually, I was wanting to call something different, and I kind of got overruled down there on the sideline, which is a good thing. You know, they're smarter than me, and it was a great play call the way they were defending us. And you know, it's like we say we like to throw it when we want to throw it, not mm-hmm. when we have to throw it. And that was one of those cases that you know, we just felt like it was there, and kids executed real well, and that was a big turning point there to get up 20-7 going into the half.
We go into the half, Coach, 20-7, and I felt like going into halftime and especially coming out of halftime that our kids smelled blood in the water. And coming out of the half, going into the third quarter, throughout the third quarter, I felt like that they played with a lot of intensity in the third quarter, trying to go ahead and just put the game away.
You know, that's been missing, you know, from some of our games, and, you know, it's something we've been talking about all year long. And, you know, we came out and had a really good drive to start the second half, and then, you know, went up, 27-7, mm-hmm. I guess. But then I thought the one negative of the night, I thought we relaxed a little bit after that on defense. And, you know, we certainly addressed that, and you know, after that, they seemed to settle back down, and we had a couple more drives and wound up, I guess, making it 41-14, and, you know, kind of got it in hand. But, you know, we've got to learn not to relax on defense. And, you know, it was you know, again, it was still a two-score game there,
yeah.
You know, for most of the third quarter. But, you know, a lot of that's to Lowndes' credit. You know, their championship program, and they didn't just roll over and play dead.
More to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit. Or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
Are you looking for a better way to bank? Hometown people that you know? Look no further than Marshland Credit Union. Marshland Credit Union is here to help, no matter if it's a mortgage, car loan, or even finding financing for that boat you've always wanted. 7 convenient locations in Glen and surrounding counties, checking, savings, you name it. Marshland Credit Union wants to be the answer to your banking needs. MarshlandCU.com, 912-279-2000. Marshland Credit Union, a better way to bank. Welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine, Orthopedic Surgery, and by Marshland Credit Union. So, Coach, we come out in the third quarter. Like you said, we get up 27-7. Jaden Daly with a 12-yard touchdown run. Lowndes responds, keeps themselves in the game. And then Mason throws a touchdown pass to Jamarlee Riddle, his second touchdown pass of the game. Go up 34-14, and now you kind of start to feel pretty good about things rolling into the fourth quarter. And then, of course, Jamarlee breaks another big one, a 48-yard run in the fourth quarter to put us up 41-14.
Yeah, you know, we couldn't have asked for a better, you know, third and start to the fourth quarter than that. And, you know, again, that's something that I think all teams, great teams, have is the killer instinct to put somebody away when you get that opportunity. And, you know, a lot of times you don't have that. You know, they relax and let somebody back into the game. But, you know, I felt like our kids, you know, we didn't want to harp on last year. And, you know, we talked about it at the half. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We talked about what happened against them last year because we were up 2 scores on them last year. And so I mentioned it. But, you know, our mantra was, you know, we're different this year. We're going to be different. We're going to do different. And, you know, that was the thing. I think they felt like, you know, that was extremely important to them, to our program, to everybody, that we did handle the lead differently than we did last year, and they did a good job of it.
The second Deontay Cole touchdown that he ran for in the fourth quarter put us up 48-14, another long one. I missed the yardage, how far that touchdown runs. Off the top of your head, do you know the second touchdown run for him in the fourth quarter was?
I do not. It was fairly long.
Yeah, it was.
And I thought he was tackled inside the 5-yard line. You know, I thought they had him. And he ran through a tackle down there, twisted somehow, and got in the end zone. In fact, I'd already kind of turned around and was starting to get the goal line group ready. And somebody goes, no, he's in, you know. So he had a really good night.
I feel like with him at full strength, up to speed, healthy, that he makes a big difference with us on offense. Do you feel the same way?
Well, he does. I mean, he's a home run hitter, you know, and – you have to – you make a mistake with him, he's going to make you pay for it. And, you know, all of our backs played well, and they all have to block for each other, and they all have to carry out fakes for each other. You know, just the other night he happened to get a couple of creases, and, you know, when he gets them, he's different than our other backs and because of just pure speed. But they all played well, and we had several of them have big runs, and then that goes back to what you said earlier, you know, our offensive line's playing well.
Oh, yeah. Coach, I also want to talk a little bit about defensively. Jake Lindsay and Cooper Thornhill, big games against Lowndes. They played well all season long. And I feel like Cooper Thornhill and Jake Lindsay don't get the amount of credit at the linebacking spot that they should get. Unsung heroes, they get overlooked, in my opinion.
Well, probably so, you know. You got to start with the fact that they might be two of the smartest kids I've ever coached. You know, both of them are just brilliant students and football players, and they, you know, you don't have to say anything to them but one time, and they've got it. And you know, they study film, they know people's tendencies. You know, they're sometimes maybe a little too smart for their own good, I guess. But no, they're great young men, you know, from great families. I mean, you name it, and they're just, you know, when you've got linebackers that are that intelligent and can get everybody lined up and they recognize stuff, it certainly helps you on defense.
And the defensive line, Higginbotham, Cooper, and Christian Dallas. They've all played great too. And I think a testament to your coaching staff is we've kept those guys relatively healthy all year, haven't we?
We have. You know, we've been very fortunate. And, you know, it takes that. If you're going to have a good year, you got to get lucky and kind of remain injury free. But, you know, there's been some ups and downs and bumps and bruises with them and stuff. But our defensive line coaches have done a good job developing those kids. You know, two of them are just juniors. And, you know, we played a lot of other kids the other night. We feel like we've got some depth on the defensive line right now with some younger kids that have been playing really well. And, we'll see as it hopefully progresses a little bit further. Hopefully we can develop a little bit more depth.
All right, Coach, so we finished the year at 7-3, 7 wins on the season, 3-1 in the region, secure a 2 seed and a first round home playoff game right here at Chris Gilman Stadium. We'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of the break. We'll be right back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron with Bishop Media Sports Network.
Family fun in the Golden Isles for all ages? Brunswick Adventures, family-friendly indoor play place. Bounce houses for the little ones and a trampoline park for all ages. Locally owned and operated. Don't forget the party rooms for your private events or that special birthday. Brunswick Adventures, 5581 Habersham Street in Brunswick, 912-342-7427 for more information. Or check us out online, brunswickadventures.com. Football season is here and we are going long at Jessup Furniture. Living room suits, dining room suits, patio furniture, luxury furniture at outlet prices, all the brands you like, Universal, Hooker, Ashley, and more. Jessup Furniture, over 50 years of helping people just like you. 651 Scranton Road in Brunswick, just down from Old Times, 912-267-1897, and look for daily deals on both Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. The segment is brought to you by Brunswick Adventures and by Jessup Furniture. Well, Coach, as we mentioned in the last segment, 7-3 season, 3-1 in the region. We get a 2 seed, and we are the number 2 seed home playoff game from Region 1. We will host East Coweta out of the Atlanta area. We do have a common opponent with those guys. They played Lowndes earlier in the year, and I believe they beat Lowndes by a couple touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Well, they beat them worse than that. I think the final score was 49-27.
Okay.
But Lowndes scored on the last play of the game.
Oh.
So, you know, it was a similar score to our game. Very similar, actually. So, that's one indicator that we've got a pretty good fish on the line here that is going to be a tough opponent for us.
Talk a little bit about East Coweta. I'm sure you probably looked at them a little bit so far on tape. What do they do? Who should we keep an eye on? What do they do well?
Well, I've looked at them a lot on tape, and, you know, to the point that it's keeping me up at night. We didn't get a good draw. I mean, we really didn't. But, you know, that's the playoffs. You got to play whoever it is, and, you know, they've got to come here, and you got to hope that that helps some. But, you know, I'll start with them offensively. They've got a young man named Christian Langford playing quarterback that you're going to hear about more and more. I mean, I had several coaches up there, including the guy that coached Trevor Lawrence in high school, say, you know, he's that kind of talent. And against Lowndes, he was something like 23 out of 25 for 350 yards passing or something, and completed passes to like 8 different receivers. And, you know, at least 4 of them are really talented football players. Got a number 7 kid named Tillman that, you know, he's as good as anybody we've seen all year long. But he does everything. He's a receiver. But they let him run the ball. He faked a punt last week. He returns kickoffs. He covers kickoffs. He covers punts. He's on their punt protection. He's a great football player. And, you know, he's a 6'2", 205-pound receiver. They've got another kid named Stegall that, you know, if anybody knows anything about high school football in the Noonan area, you know, they've always had a Stegall kid that was, you know, Derek Stegall, you know, just gone on to college and done great. And I'm assuming he's related to him. And then Coach Chronic, who used to be there And then Drew, his son, is a very successful college coach. There's two of Danny's grandsons that play receiver for him, I think. So they're very, very talented at their skill positions. Two great running backs. They rotate, and and they've got us scared to death because now they've scored points on everybody they've played. They have run up points on everybody. And, you know, the only difference is, it seems to be if the quarterback's on, they're scoring 50. If the quarterback's off, they don't score but about 35, you know. So it's a very tough assignment for our defense. And when you flip it around to the other side of the ball, you know, John Small's our head coach. A lot of connections there. He and Byron Slack, who's a great friend of mine, they played together at West Georgia. They're good friends. And John's always been a great coach. He's a really defensive-minded guy, and so they're really sound on defense, and they're really good in special teams. So they don't have any weaknesses. They really don't. And, you know, their region was a little different than ours. You know, you kind of had, you know, Colquitt and then everybody else this year in our region, in my opinion. But their region has been really different. I mean, them and Westlake and Carrollton were all very similar. In fact, you know, my opinion, you know, East Coweta could have beaten Westlake or Carrollton if just one or two plays had gone a little differently. And they'd be sitting there as a one seed instead of the three seed.
Gotcha. Coach, what do you think that we have to do well Friday night or Saturday night, rather, to walk away with a W? You know, turnovers for sure. But is there anything in particular that you've said to your kids, hey, you know, if we do this, we got a good shot?
Well, you know, the first thing, and you mentioned it there, it's a Saturday night game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're out of school on Friday for sure. You know, we've known that. It's been a scheduled holiday. And, you know, when I first saw the playoff schedule, that jumped out at me and scared me to death, you know, that, you know, we're out of school on Friday and then playing on a Saturday. And then you mix in the fact that, you know, we may be out of school Thursday with the weather concerns, mm-hmm. you know. So we've got to handle this, that part of it. Sometimes it's easier to be on the road and maintain focus when you don't have school. But we've got to handle that. And we've got to hope that all our fans don't go out of town because it's a Saturday game, or stay home to watch Georgia play, or, you know, things like that. You know, we need a huge crowd there. We need it to be a great playoff atmosphere. But, you know, we've got to treat it, you know, like we have the last couple of weeks. Those have been really playoff-type games for us. And, you know, again, not freak out, but play up to our ability. And our kids have gotten pretty good at that. But we got to continue it. And, you know, the bad thing, the great thing about being in the playoffs, you know, you get extra excited. You get a chance to go out there and do something a lot of people will hope to do. The bad thing is, if you don't handle it well, then you're sitting at home the next week. So we got to handle that pressure. And, you know, we can't control a whole lot about what East Coweta does. We got to control what we do. And, you know, yes, it would help if we can get that quarterback to have a bad night in some form or fashion. You know, maybe they'll leave him at home. You know, who knows? But the problem is they played without him last week. And he was had a dinged up ankle, but he's supposed to be back. But they won last week without him. You know, the kid that they put in played extremely well, too, which shows you they got a ton of weapons everywhere else. So we'll have our hands full, there's no question. But, you know, first round, when you're a two-seed playing a three-seed, that's a pretty equal matchup. You just got to come down to who plays the best. You know, a big one for us is we don't turn it over. Another big one after last week is we got to do something about not having so many foolish penalties. Mm.
Coach, I feel like, you know, doing what I do for a living, I look at what we are, and I look at the brackets, and, you know, where we're not on the side of Buford, Colquitt, and Carrollton, right? Not that our side isn't tough. I look at what we do, and I see us as a very, very real dark horse. I think we're good enough and talented enough to make a deep run. And I think the thing, and you had mentioned this to me a while back, before we ever even got into region play, with what we do offensively, with the wing tee and being a smash mouth physical football team, and the way high school football has transitioned to the spread, a lot of these kids aren't accustomed to playing the wing tee, and I think that gives us an advantage, especially against teams that have great pass rushers, with which you know hurt Valdosta against us. I think we're a dark horse. I think we're talented enough to make a deep run, especially with that wing tee. Do you feel the same way, Coach?
Well, Jason, you got the ability, and you can afford to think like that. We play East Coweta, and that's – I don't even know who's in our bracket. And I'm not making that up. I'm not telling you. You know, I know who the possibilities are for the next game, because you certainly have to look at, you know, you got to start preparing if you have to travel or whatever. But, you know, my mind's on East Coweta. You know, to quote Belichick, you know, it's we're on to East Coweta. And I'm honest to goodness, I could not even tell you who's in our side of the bracket. And I'm not going to, because I used to tell our kids, and I haven't done it this year yet, but, you know, we used to put 32 people up there and say, okay, this represents the 32 teams in the playoffs. You know, and if you look at it, we got to beat 32 teams. You know, well, golly, that's an overwhelming thought. Well, the truth of the matter is half of those ain't going to be there next week. Mm-hmm. You know, so now you're looking at 16, you know, and so we got to make sure we're in the right half. And so I don't care who else is in our bracket. It doesn't matter to me, because we got to beat East Coweta, and we've got to take care of business against them. And I know, you know, you say that's coach talk or whatever, but I've lost enough first-round games to know that if you let up and you relax and you let your kids look ahead, or if you let your coaches look ahead, or if you start watching film on another opponent, then you'll wind up at home going, what the heck happened? And, you know, we've you know, we've proven that we can play not so great sometimes, you know. We've been playing great, but this time of year you have to play great. And, you know, again, East Coweta's got a good football team. They're very capable of beating us. You know, we're capable of beating them. But our focus has got to be completely on them, and, you know, we'll worry about who's next on Saturday or Sunday morning this week.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop for Coach Heron. Oh, and by the way, in case you haven't gotten your tickets, get your tickets, your home playoff game tickets, in the athletic office. Ms. Dan would be happy to help you with them. For Coach Heron, I'm Jason Bishop signing off, and let's go Cats!